Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I'm your host. Let's get into it.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well. Welcome back, everybody. Good to be back here. Good to see you all here. Again, a special thanks to you folks here on Patreon who are watching this content right now. Thank you. Thank you for your support in this manner to keep the video podcast out and live for the world to see to whatever degree. For all of you listening on the audio platforms, if you want to catch what I do here in video format, you'll find a link in my link tree that takes you to my Patreon page. You can sign up for just $1 a month, and you don't even have to pay that dollar every month. If you get, you know, to where you saw want to see one episode, and then, you know, that's all you wanted to see, and you don't want to continue, you can do it month to month. You can do it as frequently or infrequently as you'd like. And that's the beauty of choice. You can choose whatever works best for you. But again, it's just $1 a month, or it's just $1 at a time to watch what I do here. And so much of what I do is more than just audio. You know, I share expression. I have videos and stuff that I oftentimes share, like I'm going to be doing today. So, you know, if you're not watching this podcast, all you'll be able to capture is the audio of the video and leave things open to your imagination. But for instance, in this week's episode, I'm going to be sharing with you guys sort of a summary of the Fire on the Mountain retreat that myself, my tribesmen, and other dear friends and who have now become brothers, all embarked on in the mountains of Appalachia, man, in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. So we are going to be talking about that today, or at least I'm going to be sharing with you guys kind of a summary of it. We do have some things planned for the future, to have all of the attendees of Fire on the Mountain together on one platform, at least on one video. Rather, is probably the best way to put it, not necessarily like a physical platform where we're all sitting together like a panel, but a digital panel, a virtual panel, as it were. There are plans to have at least one of that to happen. I got a cool idea courtesy of my wife, who helped me think up of what I wanted to do with regards to this particular topic, the content, the Fire on the Mountain, everything about it. So we're in talks of it. We're just making sure that the ideas are unanimously agreed upon, and that we have all of the gears and stuff in motion, and then all our I's dotted and T's crossed before we announce anything official. But today you guys are going to get a summary of Fire on the Mountain, which is going to include a very special video that was made by one of the attendees of Fire on the Mountain. You guys should know him by now. If you've been listening to my stuff for any length of time, you know who Sid Ryder of Inner Demon Media is. He's got the Talking with Heathens show with Papa Olofsson, who helps host the Fire on the Mountain retreat. And so Sid was there with all of us, and he compiled this really awesome video that contains photographic, like still image and video footage of the things that we did along the way. So and then playing over that, you know, over that content, right, is an audio track that was captured during a drum circle that involved all of us, seven of us. You know, we We got the drum under the night sky, under the stars. And we captured some audio, Sid did, and so did Zeb from Skogarmor. I think he might be doing something. I can't say yes or no. I probably just said too much. But anyway, we got audio of the drum circle. And this video that you guys are going to be seeing today, for those of you here on Patreon and listening, for those of you everywhere else that are listening to this on the audio platforms, what you're going to be hearing is the drum, the results of the part of the drum circle. You know, it wasn't recorded from start to finish, we got a really nice clip of what it sounds like when all of us get together and drum together. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we do that, I do just want to get into something real quick. As most of you know, November 11th was my birthday. The month of November is my birthday month. And I've had this, you know, thing where I have an Amazon wish list, people that send me stuff. I give you guys, you know, shouts out on my social medias while I open the product. And usually it's in like short form content. And I just want to say a very special thank you to everyone who's listening and watching this right now. If you've contributed to that, towards my birthday month by going onto my Amazon wish list and picking out anything on there and sending it to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I've got some really cool things already this month. And yeah, it's still up there. So check it out if you want. But I do want to call special attention to a gift that I got that was not from something. Well, it might be from something on my wish list, but it doesn't come via the wish list. So this gift that I've got here in my hand, I haven't opened it yet. I know what it is, and I know who it came from, but I've refrained from opening it yet. I wanted to do it here on the podcast because who this came from, Billy McKinney, you are an awesome friend, and you've supported this podcast for a very long time. For any of you guys who are new to this and you're watching this, the banner that you see behind me was a gift to me from Billy McKinney. And it's been in my long form content videos, my podcast, for a very, very, very long time. Since almost the very beginning of my channel. So Billy has been a friend for quite some time. We've met in person. We've hung out a little bit in person. And he knew that I was looking for a book. And he told me that he had an extra copy of it. And so Billy McKinney is also currently a Chieftain tier patron on Patreon. So big shout out to Billy McKinney for that kind of support as well. But I want to open this in front of everybody here on the podcast today. So for, again, those of you listening, it's just a brown paper wrapping that says, "Phew, I'm stuffed with big deals." If this is the book that I think it is, then yeah, it's a big deal. So here we go, opening it now. And yep, exactly what I thought it was. And it's either a brand new copy or he took really good care of this. So what I have here is The Tradition of Household Spirits, Ancestral Lore and Practices by Claude Le Coutu. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation of it, but Claude Le Coutu or Le Coutu, I don't know, it's French. This is one of the books that I've read excerpts out of. A good friend of mine, another fellow brother, Greg Strong of the Raven Moonhearth Kindred, had a copy of this. He loaned it to me, read through most of it. And this is one of those books that I always recommend to people when they look for suggestions on reading material. You know, I have a short laundry list of content. You know, sometimes it's maybe a video if it's hard to find the actual physical book copy. Maybe it's like an audio book or something. But I have a laundry list of source material and things that I recommend to people, ranging from all types of stuff. This is one of those books. Thank you, Billy. Thank you so much for sending me this immaculate. I mean, the thing just looks like it came straight out of, like, it hasn't, like, the pages aren't even furled, you know what I mean? So if this was a brand new copy, Billy, I don't know, but I mean, if it wasn't, you've had it and have taken really good care of it, and I'm very, very proud to own a copy of it myself now. So thank you so much, Billy McKinney. So anyways, guys, what I think I'd do, or what I thought I would do, is I could just jump right into this, you know, podcast talking about what the Fire on the Mountain retreat was like. And then if I showed you the video after, it would almost be like going in reverse. You know what I mean? I think that when the video plays for you, you'll have a visual idea of some of the things that I'm going to be talking about. And so when I talk through the story in the summary and retell it for you, you'll have those moments where you remember in your mind, I remember seeing that on that video, you know? So what I thought we would do is I'll just go ahead and play the video for you now, which again was a bunch of content, you know, whether it was videos or pictures that we took, you know, Sid compiled all of this stuff together, you know, so it's not all of his original content spliced together into a video. It's a combination of different people's photos and videos that were compiled by Sid together in this really awesome video. So Sid did the hard part. he went into the studio, as it were, and put everything together on this really awesome video for us. So you guys, please be sure to follow Sid on Inner Demon Media. He's got a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, and he's really great guy. But this is what Sid put together. So this is about 5.5 minutes of different video and audio, or sorry, video and photo from Fire on the Mountain with the audio of our drum circle playing. And I hope you all enjoy it. And we'll be back to talk more about it when it's done. Enjoy. Thank you. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. You know, for me, watching that video is like taking me back to each of the moments that you saw and remembering everything that kind of led up to those moments happening, the things that happened in those moments, and then the things that happened following those moments, you know? Now, clearly there's, you know, 5.5 minutes or so worth of footage that was shared is barely scratching the surface of all of the stuff that took place. A lot of things weren't documented for obvious reasons. You know, there's probably even more stuff that you guys will hear about in the near future, hopefully, from the rest of us, you know, from the rest of the guys that were in attendance there, that will add layers to the story that I'm going to tell you. So I think what I'll do is I'll just start from the beginning, as all good stories and tales do, start from the beginning. So we arrived, some of us arrived there late Wednesday afternoon, and the majority of us arrived on Thursday afternoon. So that's when Thursday afternoon is when myself and my tribe and Patrick Walsh, who rode with us, arrived, and we got ourselves kind of settled in to our respective living arrangements for the duration, you know. You saw some pictures of this like circular hut in one of those. You also saw Papa sitting on a stump kind of grinding up some things, right? That where all that stuff was, right? Where the stumps were, our outside fire pit, and then the hut is all in the same area. So that was kind of our home base camp for the retreat. And when we arrived and got ourselves all settled into where our respective, you know, where we had to put our luggage, our ritual supplies, and all of the things that you come to something like this with, you know, Papa Olson and his clan, his tribe was very accommodating to all of us. So I just want to say a very special thank you to Papa Olson. Everything was wonderful. Accommodations were the best that they could possibly be. I can't think of anything that would have made it better. And so when we arrived and got ourselves all settled in, it was pretty much straight to fellowshipping. You know, some of us who arrived there had never met one another in person, you know, so there was a lot of reuniting of friends and brothers. But then there was also this moment to get to know people in person on that type of level, you know, because some of us have only known each other long distance through social media. Obviously, you know, Sid and well, for me at least, you know, the only one that I hadn't met in person there was Sid. But you know, Patrick and Sid hadn't met. Patrick hadn't met Papa or Zeb from Skogermore. You know, so there was a lot of, you know, getting to meet one another and just having fellowship, you know, sharing in drinks, having really delicious food. There was smoked sausages and meats of an exotic variety. There was bison, there was reindeer, there was top shelf cheeses, bread, crackers, delicious beverages, you know, beers, whiskey, mead. It was a feast. It was a campsite feast, with some wonderful, wonderful people. And that arrival and that just getting a chance to sit down and relax and not having to worry about like, okay, well, when we start the work? When do we get into business? It was just a nice gradual segue into the way the weekend was going to start. So at one point, you know, we come up and meet some more of the people involved, mainly my Papa's wife, Sin. They run the Fjallvatir workshop together. You know, being reacquainted with her and the family, and just, you know, again, just reuniting and getting that done. So when we got all of our, you know, hellos and welcomings and stuff in, we get to feasting, and then we get to talking about the first part of the retreat was to perform an opening ceremony and to welcome in individuals who have come from afar and give everyone a chance to have their words to be heard. They can introduce themselves, speak. Everyone that came from my tribe had a task to do, right? Like we had speeches that we had to write or prayers or respective things. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, we started off the whole thing after our fellowshipping and feasting, right? We started the retreat off by a land, sort of land blessing, land hallowing ceremony where the previous year's Fire on the Mountain ritual and everything that we did with Fire on the Mountain last year, the previous location that it was held was on a different part of the property than where it was held this year. So the ritual, the opening ceremony, was to carry fire from the old campsite, the old ritual site, the old Fire on the Mountain location, carry fire from there to the new location, to the new campsite, to our new headquarters. Ritualistically, you know, again, rekindling the flame from the last year and ritualistically carrying it forth to light our new location. And it was done in a procession sort of way where we gathered together, we lit fire. It was a very specific order in which things were done. Who went first? Excuse me. You know, who was in the front, who was in the back. There were very specific methods of that, you know. And so we get to the new, you know, we get to the campsite where we were initially feasting, and we light the fires, and then at that point, it was time to really get into the ritual headspace of things. Not going to go into detail about everything about what that was, because again, there are certain parts of this that I'm going to omit for reasons that need to be done. We need to keep certain things private, because this was a private and enclosed off and invite only sort of event. But what I feel like I'm going to be sharing is sufficient, because you saw footage of things, and we were given permission by our hosts that, you know, when it's appropriate to record things, when it's not appropriate to record things. And anytime you see footage of things being shared here, it was done with permission already being granted to do so. So in some of the slide photos that you saw folks, I think I had a picture in one, and I think who else was it? Might have been Ulf. But there were pictures of people with, like, face paint, where it was like dark paint and white paint, or dark face and white paint with markings on it, right, on their face. And that was part of after the fires were lit. Everybody was going to get their face blackened with charcoal. So, like, and you saw in the beginning of that video that I shared, you saw Papa sitting on a stump and grinding something up in, like, a pestle and mortar. He was preparing the coal that we were going to have our faces marked with and smudged with. Literally coal from the fire that he started on Wednesday before we got there, because Wednesday was the day that the land was blessed and the Lin Vatir were welcomed in, and an altar was placed. You guys saw some pictures of bowls and cups and this really pretty outdoor altar. That was all done before we got there on Thursday. So the coals from the fire that were lit Wednesday night, the coals from that fire were taken, broken down, and then added a binder to, like, whatever, I forget he uses. I think he might use oil. But and as I'm talking and I'm taking sips of water, you guys will have to forgive me. There's the way the weather has been going, it's like this constant tickle in the back of my throat. So anyway, the charcoal was to blacken our faces, and then that was done by Zeb. He blackened all of our faces, and then once he blackened our face with the charcoal and smudged our entire face, we were told to go to Papa who was going to paint our face with certain markings to represent the spirit, the nature spirit, the animal spirit, that was going to kind of be there with us throughout this whole retreat. So the ceremony of you know, putting shadowing our faces, right, darkening our faces to conceal our identity, our physical form, our outer shell, that sort of I don't know, the homer, maybe you want to call it, that physical form, kind of shadowing it, concealing it, and then going to, you know, the shaman to be painted in a way that the animal spirit was revealed. So if you see more footage or something else pops up and you see other people's, you know, face blackened and markings on their face, you'll know what I'm talking about and what that was for. Oh, I'm actually going a bit ahead of myself. So I mentioned earlier on, so we'll come back to this section and pick up from there. So I'm going to rewind a little bit. I mentioned early on that everybody in my tribe had a charge or a task to do, right? So my Gothi had was given a task to write an opening prayer or blessing, you know, something that falls under the category of what a spiritual leader would do for any such thing. So he had to write and recite a prayer to everyone or a blessing of some sort, right? My Thule, his name is Patrick also, not Patrick Walsh. But he is kind of like the you know, as the Thule, one of his tasks, one of his duties within the tribe is to kind of be that speaker of law, you know. And to know what the tribe's laws are and to ensure that law is being held and maintained, right? That our thu and our laws are being adhered to and not violated. So his task was to write three laws that we were all bound to for the event. I mean, he did that. So he had to write and recite all three laws and he did that. And then my charge was to write a welcoming speech and take oaths from all attendees as a chieftain, right? It was my job to write an oath that I was binding everyone to and myself to included. So, and then lastly, but not least, the Patrick Walsh, who I mentioned, he was tasked to write a victory speech. And I just got to say, everybody's charge, everybody's task, what they were given from my tribe and people who came and that flew under our banner, under our staff, you know, and that came in with us, did a phenomenal job. Everybody was very eloquent, very well written, very well put together, very well orated, right? Very well said. So I'm really proud of Hlurili folk for being such a strong representation of our tribe and being able to, you know, be given a task, take it seriously, you know, and deliver. And it was really great to see that and experience that. So when that happened, before this ceremony that I'm, I think it happened before the ceremony, if I'm remembering the sequence of order of things, I'm pretty sure we were not painted up yet. Yeah, we weren't painted up yet. So it happened before the painting of the face and the painting on of the spirit. Okay. So now that you know that happened and what we did, that was done inside of the hut. The video or the pictures that you saw of that round structure, that was the hut where we all assembled, sat in a circle, right? So it wasn't like who sits at the head of the table, who sits here, where there. No, it was circular. We met in a circle. Everyone were, you know, equal to in that right. And so then it was after that we started going and doing the face painting of things. So then after so now we got that part done. Fast forward back to the point where I left off, that our faces are all painted. We all have been marked, with these markings. And so we all retired to the hut to start in a drum circle, a drumming, sort of thing. So again, we're still feasting. You know, the feasting continued on. We're drinking, we're feasting, we're just really enjoying one of this company. And then we go into drumming. And that was a whole lot of fun because, you know, as you can imagine, there was music sometimes being played, sometimes there wasn't. I remember one particular point in time, I think somebody, I don't know who, when hopefully we have a follow up to this episode with everybody else on this on the next show, somebody will own up and tell us who it was that did it. But somebody put on DMX, and I'm like, I remember hearing it, I'm just like, well, let's go, you know, and I'm just, you know, we all start drumming along to DMX. So whoever that was, when we figured out, you know, that'll hopefully be revealed in the future episode or in a future episode. But yeah. All right, so we get into more stuff Thursday night. The rest of the stuff that I'll just omit again, it wasn't stuff that was shared on the video, so it won't be anything that I share now. But the next morning, so Friday, the next day, you guys saw some pictures and video of all of us in the water, in swim trunks and or you know, lounge pants or whatever, right? We're all pretty much down to nothing but our skivvies in a sense to get wet and get cold. That was the day that we took and we did our immersion ritual. So we went first to I think it was Widow Creek Falls. Was that the same day? It might have been the night before. That might have been Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. But we ended up going to a spot where not far from Widow Creek Falls, where you know, so where we're all like swimming and jumping in the water and splashing around and sitting in the water. That was down the road from Widow Creek Falls. Don't remember the name of the exact location, but we'll get to it on the next episode when we talk about this stuff. But anyway, that was our immersion ritual. And you know, a lot of people, you know, if you know, you know, you know, cold water immersion, you know, ice baths and all that stuff, it has known physical health benefits. It also has really good benefits for your, you know, cardiovascular health, your organs, just overall physically good for you to get cold like that. But so much a part of what that immersion ritual, you know, the immersion ceremony, the immersion into cold, was a way of shocking your body, you know, into that sort of hyper awareness of things, and but it also has a deeper meaning for us too. You know, like, we were all there with one another doing it, those who participated, right, or those who got cold. And there was this shared experience of, you know, yeah, this it's definitely not easy, because, you know, when we went and did it, it was probably in the upper 40s air temperature. The water temperature had to be probably around the same. I don't know, you know, it wasn't like there was ice floating around on it, but it was very cold, you know. But you know, sharing in that moment together, and I'm going to be excited to talk to everybody, you know, on this about it, and hear what their experience was and what it means to them. But again, that feeling of fellowship, that feeling of I'm going through this ordeal with you, I'm going through this adversity with you, I'm suffering in a way in this moment with you, right? You're not doing this alone. You're not by yourself. If you need a hand getting up or a hand getting in, right? I know on the video you guys saw, you know, arms being extended, support, literal physical support being offered to help brace, you know, people's stances. It's like an exercise of showing you that you know we're here for one another. We're here to support one another, not let each other fall. If you need help, you've got someone there that's going to come and get you. And then if they need help, you've got other people that are coming for to aid you as well. And that was the constant thing about the whole retreat, you know, is that you know, you're not doing this alone. You don't be afraid of things. Don't fall victim to despair, doubt, or fear, because you're not doing any of these things alone. You know, you have your tribe in this moment. You have the people near and beside you to help you through it and to experience these things with you. You know, so Friday, that was late morning, early afternoon, because there was some rain that came through. And then once the rain passed, you know, we got a dry spot, and it was still overcast, kind of cloudy, but it had stopped raining. That's when we went and did that. So obviously we're all soaking wet now. And the plan was, as I was told at least, was to go back to the retreat area, get into a dry change of clothes, and then go for a short hike in this one location. I can't remember where exactly they said it was, but they were like, it's about a 40-minute drive from here. But if we leave now, we'll be able to make it before, you know, we'll be able to get out there, hike around. It's not very long, before it gets dark, you know, and then we can come back and have a really good dinner that was, that Sin prepared for us. So Friday afternoon was going to be a hike, come back, eat, right? Well, we get into the vehicles and we're heading out there, and realized that at one point, almost 5 minutes away from the, no, it wasn't even 5 minutes. We had arrived in Lenoir, North Carolina. And I'm in the vehicle with Papa Olofsson, Cindy, and their two kids. Anyway, so we get into kind of this like downtown area of Lenoir, Main Street, whatever the name, you know, probably not Main Street, but it's like, again, it's like a small town, and we're on the main street. He said, so I got a confession to make. As he says, you know, we lied to you, and we're not going hiking. We're actually going to have some drinks here at the Moonjoy Meadery. So you guys saw some photos of the Moonjoy Meadery from the outside, and then a bunch of us at a table inside sitting around drinking mead. And that's what we, that's what the plan was all along. It wasn't a plan was not to go hiking at all. This was like a birthday celebration for me, because I had so much kindness shown to me, right? People were buying me flights of mead. Patrick Walsh ended up buying me a bottle of mead. I think Zeb got me a hoodie. I was definitely not mad. Trust me. I wasn't like, oh man, I wish we were going hiking. I'm like, hell yeah, this is great. You know, mead in the afternoon, right? Get to meet some new folks, get to meet the people, Daniel and Rebecca, who own the meadery, and they are fantastic mead makers. Let me tell you guys. And I'm just going to let everybody know, this mead is the best mead I've ever had. And I've tried a lot of different meads, a lot of really good meads. Their mead takes the cake. They don't use any preservatives. Their flavors that they use are from all natural. Like when their mead has, like, let's say strawberries in it, and it says it on there that it has strawberries, this, that, and the other, like, it tastes like actual strawberries, not like that fake strawberry flavoring crap that's in like other stuff. No, it tastes like you're just biting into a strawberry. Anything that their mead flavors say, you're going to taste it. And if you're not in the Lenoir, North Carolina area, that's okay, because you can go to their website and get their mead shipped to you, at least in the United States. I don't know exactly the rules and stuff of everywhere else, but I'm going to be linking their website in the show notes of this podcast. So for all you video watchers, it'll be in the description area. For you, those on the audio platform, just check the show notes of the podcast. I highly encourage you to get some of their mead. They'll ship it, and it's probably going to be some of the best mead you've ever tasted. I would be willing to bet that much. So I'm glad that we got a chance to do that, because I've been, you know, I've had some of the Moonjoy mead before at Papa's, and I really liked it, but I got to try so much more than I've ever tried before, and I'm like, yeah, this is a problem, but a good one to have, because I'm gonna be ordering some mead from you guys like once a month at least now. So again, a good problem to have. Great people, Daniel and Rebecca, you guys do a wonderful job And I wish you all the best of luck continuing in your business. Don't stop what you're doing, please. It's amazing. So we stay there in Lenore. After we leave the meadery, we go down the street to this really cool antique store called Dead Persons Antiques or something like that. Anyway, they got like all kinds of cool like old well, it's an antique store, so it's got, you know, old stuff, but also like bones and antlers and taxidermied items and all kinds of neat stuff like that. So we spent some time there, and then we headed back to the retreat location and had a delicious bison meat stew that Cindy made. It was called Three Sisters Stew, but it had bison meat in it. And it was like, again, just the time of year that it is, and up in the mountains when it's kind of colder due to the elevation than it is further down. Oh man, it hit the spot, you know, to be eating that good hearty food, right? So after dinner, that was Friday. After dinner, we did a sambal. So we feasted, did a sambal around the dining area. Not in the hut. This was up above the campsite. And so in the dining hall there, we had our feast, we had sambal. And again, that's where all that mead got passed around, you know. So the bottle that I ended up getting gifted to from Patrick, my plans was to have it and take it back home, right, to enjoy here in Tennessee. But sambal was called, right? And I'm like, all right, well, at one point we finished like a round or two of sambal and we still had more to go. And we were running out of meat, so I'm like, pop that bad boy and let's go. So the dark horse flavor mead that I that Patrick Walsh got me went into the sambal rounds. So Friday night was spent a lot of with drinking and just more, there was more, you know, ritual stuff done too, you know, more things that weren't necessarily documented, but they happened. So fast forward, right, Saturday morning, I was a bit hungover. I'm not gonna lie. We had good long rounds of sambal, and then afterwards there were other things. I had picked up a whiskey and brought some whiskey up with me and some single malt scotch, you know. And so yeah, so I was a little bit hungover on Saturday, not gonna lie. But Saturday was our big hike to Stone Mountain, up Stone Mountain. So the pictures that you saw in the video, where Ulf is kind of like standing there with his arms outstretched, looking up at the sky, and Zeb is kind of playing a rattle, you know, that was when we reached the height or the summit of the trail, going up Stone Mountain. This is Stone Mountain, North Carolina, by the way, not Stone Mountain, in Georgia. And so what was cool is that it was everybody but one of us. We were broken up into two groups. So I was with Ulf and Zeb, and then Papa, Patrick, and Patrick, the two Patricks, were in the second group. Their plan, or their direction that they were going in, was to hike up a shorter stretch of the mountain to the summit, but it was a much steeper, much more difficult path. And then Zeb, Ulf, and I were going to take the slightly longer but less difficult path. So we get to, you know, we're about maybe a quarter of the way through the trail, and Ulf, you know, admittedly he was having a tough time. He's been dealing with an infection on his leg from a tattoo, and it's been causing him a lot of pain, right? Well, his regular doctor checkups and said, you know, it's like 70%, 70 something percent healed, you know, you're good to do stuff, you know, just don't get it wet. But from all the walking the added blood flow, plus some of the other things that he's got going on, just his, you know, medical conditions and whatnot. It was starting to tax him just a quarter of the way through. The last three quarters of that hike is going up these really sharp switchbacks uphill, you know, up the mountain. And so we get to the base of that before we go up, and you know, we're stopping so we can get a breather. And he's just looking up ahead of himself, and he's like, I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, you know? So we just kind of paused there, and Zeb was great, you know, because Zeb was kind of the one leading the hike in a way. And he's like, he said, look, man, he said, don't worry about it. We're going to get to the top, and we're going to take as long as we need to take. We're going to take as many breaks as we need to take. We're going to stop when we need to stop, sit down when we need to sit down. But we're going to get there, and we're going to be there with you. You're not going to be left behind. We're not going to go ahead of you and wait for you. We're going to be right here with you. And guess what? We were. And he made it to the top. And that pose where you see him with his arms outstretched, just looking up at the sky, was such a powerful moment, not only for him, right, for having not given in to fear and doubt, not given in to, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I can do this, right? The easy thing to do would have been to give in to that. And had it not been for his brothers beside him, he would have. He would not have gone and done that. But we encouraged him, and we told him, and we reassured him that we would be right there at his side, going along pace with him, being there for him, checking on him, right? And it was part of the lesson that was, again, continues through the retreat. And Bella agrees, because you won't stop barking. But anyways, yeah, so he he didn't give up. He got to the top, and so he felt that accomplishment, you know, and then all of us seeing him get there was we had that satisfaction knowing too, like he did it, you know, and we were there to witness it. Not giving into fear and doubt, not allowing that uncertainty, that worry to lose sight of the goal. And that was a lesson, again, that I said it was repeated throughout the retreat multiple times, but that was probably one of the most profound times that we got to see it in action, right? Because he did. He had that moment of, I don't think so, man. I don't think this is gonna happen. Guess what, boy? It's not an option. This is going to happen, but it's going to happen at your pace. You know, and I think that's another thing that is important to realize is, you know, you can encourage people to do things that they don't want to do and not be a jerk about it, you know, because guess what? Had we been different in our approach, had we been like, man, shut up, wuss, you know, man up, put your big boy panties on, you know, if we had made fun of him or if we had been like, you know, trying to make him feel guilty or bad about not wanting to do it, it wouldn't have gone that way. I don't think he certainly wouldn't have felt empowered, you know, to be able to do it. I think he would have, if he did it, it would have been a begrudging thing. He wouldn't have gotten the satisfaction out of it, maybe. But I think it's important to think of the approach that we take with people, you know. It's fine to feel like you can't do something. It's fine to think that you're not going to be able to make it. You know, it's fine to doubt yourself, and it's going to happen, but you have the ability to really dig deep, and especially when you have your people nearby, they'll be the ones to encourage you and to push you lovingly. And it paid off, you know? He made it to the top, you know, made it down. Sure, he felt it. Sure, it was, you know, he's like, my legs are killing me, this, that, and the other, you know. He's like, but I'm so glad that I saw this through and that I did this. You know, he learned a lesson. We all felt it too. We all learned a lesson. It was something that we experienced together. So when we got back Saturday, When we got back Saturday, that was when some really heavy duty ritual stuff took place. None of that stuff will be shared. There was no, at least not by me in this not right now, at least. I'm not gonna say it'll never be shared, but I'm just gonna say that because it wasn't shared through the video, I'm not gonna talk about what happened Saturday night, and the rituals and all that that took place, the ceremonies that took place, the lessons that took place. Profound stuff. But we completed all that. We retired at various times of the night. Some people went to retire earlier than others. But then Sunday was our departure day. You know, we got up, we tore down our camps, you know, respectively, packed up all of our stuff, loaded up our vehicles, and started making the trek back to our where we live. You know, all of the stuff that you guys saw in the video, the views from the mountain, the waterfalls, the river immersion, where we're all like kind of like chest deep or waist deep or lower, in frigid cold water, the face painting, you know, and the music that you heard, the drum beating. That's one thing I'm gonna say, is that was Saturday night. Yeah, that was Saturday night, because Saturday night was when we got to have some delicious meat pies made from reindeer meat. Oh man, was it either reindeer or elk? I think it was elk. I could be wrong. Yeah, it was elk. So, because the reindeer meat was the sausage, it was elk meat that the meat pies were made from. So we had dinner there, in the feasting hall, same place we had stumbled the night before. Then we all went outside with different drums, and drummed under the clear starlit sky for, I don't know, I'd say it was probably about, all in total, you know, maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. But some of the music that you heard, you know, the singing, the growling, the humming, the howling, you know, that was a magical moment, you know, just being there and being, you know, being given the chance to drum together with people. If you've never been a part of a drum circle, it's such a beautiful experience. You know, you feel so connected with one another without having to, like, because you don't know what you're going to be playing. Like, you don't know the beats ahead of time. It's not like, all right, Johnny, I'm going to lead off with a 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and you come in with a 1-1-1, right? Nothing like that. It's not choreographed, it's not orchestrated, it's not planned out. It's just what you feel, you know. We complement one another. We get in rhythm. We get in line, and we follow that rhythm, and we all weave ourselves into that tapestry. And that's what it was about. That was what it was. It was a weaving of weird. It was a tying of luck. And it was looking at the world through the eyes of the ancients. It was experiencing that life, that ancient forces of nature that is literally some of the oldest energy in the world. Appalachia, where we were, that is all of that land out there is billions and billions of years old, older than the Rockies. Again, just some of the oldest soil, rock, mountain, air, land, water, everything is this. It's some of the oldest in the world, and we were there. We were there doing some incredible things and feeling some incredible ways, you know, for 3 days, 3 to 4 days. And so I watched this video with you guys, and while you may be seeing it for the first time, or it's been circulating on social media this week, when Sid initially posted it and shared it around. But so this, you know, this may be another time that you're seeing it, but if you're coming on here now and you're not on some of those other platforms, rewatch it as many times as you want. Just, you know where it is in the episode and just go back and watch it as many times as you want. I know I will be. I'll be rewatching that thing for. I downloaded it and I saved it myself because I'm like, I want to go back and watch this as many times as I want. Might upload it on YouTube. I don't know. So if you guys are listening and watching, you subscribe to my YouTube channel, it might find a place up there that you can go back to and watch it. We'll see. But yeah, so guys, stay tuned. If you have any questions and want to know something specific, I would say that it would be good for you to let me know. You can comment down below. You can write into the podcast, Midgard Musings, TN at gmail.com. You can call into the podcast, leave a voicemail. That number is 615-671-9832. You can comment on a post, or you can DM me on any of my socials, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or whatever, X, whatever it's called now. But yeah, if you have questions and you want to know something specific, please let me know in whatever way works best for you. Because when we talk about getting everybody else on a sort of panel, again, I say I had an idea. Actually, my wife had the idea is better to be better because she came up with the idea, and I want to, before I announce it here to the world, right, I want to make sure that the idea is something that everyone is cool with and that we want to do. I'm pretty sure that it'll be something that everybody's fine with doing, but at the very least, expect one more episode with everybody on here. And maybe something special else thereafter. So more to come on that. But in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoyed this little summary, recap, reliving of Fire on the Mountain. Let me know if you have any questions. And thank you again to my patrons on Patreon. Thank you to Billy McKinney specifically for the book. I think you had mentioned to me at some point that it was either a birthday slash Yule gift. I couldn't wait. I knew what it was, and I'm like, I got to open this now, and I wanted to do it here, so I'll count it as a birthday present. I appreciate it, my man. Thank you so very much. And for everybody else that's out here listening, check the show notes for the Linktree link that has all of the ways that you can support me. As a reminder, I am running a Yule special on all of my merchandise, so if you go to MidgardMusingStore.com, anything that you buy is 50% off when you use the code Yule23. That's Yule23 at checkout, and you get 50% off. So there's hoodies, there's t-shirts, there's hats, there's other various things. Now's the time to get something if you want to get it for yourself or for your friends or family. You want to get them something for Yule or the holidays, what have you. But all that stuff's in the link tree. Be sure to check it out. And again, thank you all so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you do like it, give it an upvote on whatever platform that you're on. And until we talk to each other again, may the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you.